Good day, everyone, and welcome back to episode 9 of Wiredly Inspired. Your hosts, Taylor and Steve.
Whoop whoop.
Today, we thought we'd switch it up a little bit, change the trajectory of the topic overall in the episode, and talk a little bit about sports. There's definitely some sports podcasts out there, and, you know, we see sports all the time on TV. And, you know, if you're not a sports fan or follow sports or play sports, this episode may not be for you, but I hope you can still find some value in this episode. We hope you can find some value in this episode. And you can always tie sports into with mindset as well and stuff like that. But we just thought this would be good to kind of change it up. Sports are, you know, at least the core four. NFL is wrapping up right now. A lot of people are excited about that. Hockey just got reinstated for the 2021 season, and NBA is well on its way for, you know, the core major sport leagues out there. So, yeah
we don't really follow soccer that much. So, but I think we're going to tie in how sports, you know, is for everybody. You know, you started off by saying that it might not be for them, but in a way, we'll touch on how it is for everybody a little bit. Maybe not the idea of a specific sport, but sport and how it relates to life might be for everybody. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see indeed. And let's just get right into, well, let's define a sport. What is a sport? Dictionary.com says, a sport is an athletic activity requiring skill or physical prowess, where Oxford says and defines a sport as an activity involving physical exertion and a skill in which an individual or team competes against another or others for entertainment. Mm. And I think most people can agree that that's pretty much what sports are, is entertainment, right?
I think so. But, you know, we touched on before we started this podcast that I think anything that's competitive in nature could also be considered sport. So it really depends on how you define it as an individual, maybe how the dictionaries define it as well. But I think that anything that is competitive is also a sport of some kind.
Okay. Yeah. It's all fair, right? It's all pretty relevant. And sports are not new. And that leads us into the history of sports 101 here. Okay. Just a brief fun fact. The history of sports goes back to approximately 3,000 years, with the first of the Olympic Games, because we should all be familiar with the Olympic Games, in around 776, specifically, BC. So 776 BC.
Whoa.
And what do you think, Steve, is the longest standing sport? The longest tenured sport?
Man, going all the way back to that day?
Yeah, because we're talking Greece, Athens, right? The Romanian type.
I would guess, if I had to guess, I would say something like javelin throwing.
Okay, that's fair, right? Yeah. The horses and the people and the knights.
I just mean like throwing the old stick.
Okay. Would it surprise you that it is actually, in fact, wrestling?
Oh, right? Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, people have been wrestling with each other forever.
Yeah, so it's so long. Would we also agree or maybe disagree that sports are basically just, it's natural for humans. It's in our nature. It's in our DNA.
I think so. I mean, we're all competing with each other, right?
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the life part and sport and how it can be tied into actually everything. If we're not thinking about sport as specific, like hockey, basketball, soccer, but we look at it more of like competition, competing against each other. You know, that's what sport is to me. So, I mean, that can tie into every aspect of life.
You can make a friendly competition out of anything, right?
Well, like, I mean, like, probably
my girlfriend and I do it all the time. Like, okay, I mean, she'll do this all the time, and it's kind of fun. And I think she thinks I get annoyed sometimes, but it's like, you know, paper, rock, scissors for doing the dishes. And I'm like, no, like, I'll just do them. She's like, well, no, like, this is, you know, this is fun. Like, just do it. Like, who cares? I'm like, okay. And then, you know, she wins probably. She's probably got like a 75% success rate.
I picture you picking rock a lot.
You know what? I don't know what I pick. I try to switch it up, but it doesn't matter. She still wins. It's in, you know, it's
I like to start off with paper.
Paper? Start off. If you're doing like a best of
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah. Okay. Like best of three. I'm a paper guy.
You know, if we ever play, then I can just assume that you're...
Well, now that you know that, I might have to change it up.
Oh, Nancy, that's where paper...
Maybe when we play it, you won't remember.
Ah, see? Sports are tricky, friends. Sports are tricky.
Yeah. I mean, we all like to compete with each other, and it's... I mean, I think everybody does it to some degree. Like, like drinking games, for instance, and stuff like that. Like, there's all... It seems like every day or at least it's some form of competitive... Something is in everybody's life. So if we look at sport in that aspect, it's really just anything that's competitive that has you going against somebody else for something. Rock, paper, scissors with your loved one to do the dishes could technically, to me, be classified as a form of sport. Rock, paper, scissors could be a sport. You know, you never know. Maybe there's some sort of underground world out there that has rock, paper, scissors as the core focus of theirs or whatever. But, you know, I think people just associate sport in, you know, more of like a defined, you know, whether it's the hockey or the basketball or whatever. Right. So I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, when there's weird things out there, and certain countries and regions in the world consider toe wrestling, to piggyback off wrestling, there's a such thing as toe wrestling. So, I don't think paper, rock, scissors as a sport somewhere out there in this diverse landscape and world of ours that, you know, something or someone would constitute paper, rock, scissors as a sport.
That's which wild. Leads
me, it is wild. It's weird. Yeah. That's so you wild. Can tell I went down a little bit of a hole looking up sports and to see two grown men on the ground toe wrestling, as you would call it, is you know, not getting into too much detail, it made me chuckle.
Yeah.
So
that leads make me most into, people chuckle.
Yeah, absolutely. That leads me into explaining and or not even explaining, just giving some examples of activities and games that are considered sports, which most people might not know.
I'll just give a couple, based on right? Starting off with toe wrestling. I'm not prepared for this list.
I don't know how we can top that, to be honest. But just a couple. I mean, horseshoes, right? We know horseshoes, darts, cornhole is apparently a sport, right? Where you that board
beanbag toss kind of thing.
Beanbag toss, 100%. Marathons, one of my all-time favorites.
Now, why did they? I wonder. Here's a different question to interrupt you. I wonder why they have to call it cornhole, because everyone refers to an anus. I think when you think of the old cornhole.
No, Steve, that's just you.
I don't know, man. I think of cornhole, I automatically think anus.
Okay.
Maybe that's just my that's my sixth sense of humor, I guess. We're getting
completely off topic.
Yeah, we don't need to have a
life of sports here.
Conversation about anus.
That's right. One of my favorite sports, if you even want to consider it a sport, but they do, over across the pond in England, is cheese rolling.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah, like the downhill.
Yeah.
Like that's wild. Like the most wild part about it is how expensive is that cheese rolling down that hill?
Yeah.
Like, because you go to other countries in Europe and stuff, and I mean, you get expensive cheese in Canada, don't get me wrong, but like, there's cheese that it blows your mind how expensive it is.
Well, it's like, almost a delicacy.
Like, we'd probably have to look that up, like most expensive cheese, but it's crazy. Like, yeah. Cheese is probably one of the most expensive things you can buy in the store in general. Like, you go to the grocery store right now, probably one of the most expensive items you could find for the amount that you get is cheese. So that's always something that I've always seen this cheese rolling down the hill. I'm like, what are you guys doing? You guys are crazy. That's like a $10,000 chunk of cheese just rolling down a hill. Are you going to eat it after? I hope so. But I mean, imagine all the crap that the cheese is going to have on it after rolling down a
well, it's wrapped up. Right? They wrap it up.
Oh,
it's like kind of like a
see. So you are educated on the cheese roll.
There's a show out there, and yes, I did watch it, and it is hilarious.
That's amazing.
People that are very passionate about this, running, sprinting down
the hill. There's been
where you get messed up.
Oh my goodness!
Stuff. Other people break you. Apparently the rewards are significant.
You know what? I didn't actually picture in my mind the people running down the hill with the cheese. But now I'm picturing 100%. That now, and I know I've seen massive amounts of hilarious videos of people biffing it hard.
Yeah, England. England is apparently the place, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And I forget the actual town, city.
You think it'd be Italy because of wine, being known for their wine so much that cheese and wine is kind of like a thing.
We'll just leave Italy with their wine. And they have a lot in England and various other countries want a cheese, I guess.
I guess. Wow.
So, yeah, on top of that, real quick, Quidditch, right? I mean, Harry Potter derived, but
what
Quidditch.
Is that?
Quidditch?
Yeah.
Harry Potter? When they, the broomsticks in the, you know, in the actual movie, but the broomsticks.
I've never watched it.
No? Okay. Well, I'm not going to explain it. You gotta look it up.
Okay.
If real.
I've never even heard of that word before.
Quidditch?
Quidditch.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're okay. You need some more Harry Potter in your life,
brother. I actually have never been a fan, and I hope people don't hate me for that are listening to this podcast, but I always watched, like, I remember trying to watch Harry Potter back in the day, and I was kind of, eh. Okay. I'm okay. Like, it wasn't my cup. I'm more of like
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings was good.
When I think of Harry Potter,
Lord of the Rings was epic. I mean, the fight scenes in the Lord of the Rings movies were off the chain.
Just the visual effects, I think, that, back then. You know?
Yeah, but I like more of like your, I don't know, kind of your more thriller movies and action and not as much of the mystic stuff, I guess. Okay.
Interesting. That's good.
Besides that new series that's came out, the Mystic Beasts, which I think is a play on Harry Potter, like the movies that have came out, I think that's what it's called.
It is. Yes, I believe you're correct.
Those are fantastic movies.
Okay.
I've seen both of them. I think they're making a third this year. So
keeping tabs. Yeah. Keeping tabs. I don't know about this one, but I saw a picture and I'm not even going to dive into it, but competitive worm. Charming
earthworms,
I believe so, and yeah, it seems intense in its own right. I don't know. I'm not going to get down. It makes me laugh even just looking at the word and saying the word. But we'll move on for sake of not knowing really what the hell it is.
No kidding.
Log
that's
rolling,
bizarre.
Right?
Log rolling. That one's pretty. Sport.
Pumpkin chucking, right? Not just like a shot put, but like literally with the catapults.
Oh, that's cool. Like,
that's a thing.
That's pretty cool.
I think that's in a couple states, I'm sure, if it came up.
You know, I mean, what we're really discovering here by your list thus far is you can classify sport by anything. Yeah.
There's so many that are so weird that most people don't know and they're getting evolved. I mean, even think about lacrosse, right? It's Canadians' national sport, but most people, it's not most cities.
Most people wouldn't associate that with Canada that live outside of Canada. Like, most people would think it's hockey.
That's what I love about sports, too. You know, and just thinking about, you think about Canada, what's some of the top things? Cold, winter, you know, this, the flag. Oh, hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey.
True.
Right?
Yeah. And that we live in igloos, apparently.
I'm still trying to explain to people how I get my second floor of my igloo. Like,
yeah.
They just can't, it doesn't register.
And this might be crazy to people that aren't Canadian, but I've actually never been inside an igloo. Yeah, never. Yeah, never in my life. But I think it'd be cool to build an igloo and then ice fish in the middle of that sucker. That'd be like, how Canadian would that be?
That'd be ideal. I built an igloo with a good gang of people, with a good group of people in college. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it wasn't like a true, the blocks of ice igloo. Let's not get real here, but.
That's impressive though.
It was so intense. Yeah, it was fun.
That must have been the most Canadian you've ever felt almost.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, it's up there. Sure. It's up there.
What else do you got on this wild list of yours?
Oh, it's all straight from the dome, off the cuff here, ladies and gentlemen. But let me just ask you a question, man. Why do you personally love sports so much? Not even just the sports you love, but sports in general.
You beat me to the question. Why do I love sports so much? I think a lot. I keep saying
you believe,
that all the time.
Steve.
I believe. It's always been just the competitiveness side of the equation. It challenges you to be better and to win and competition and just, it's also fun at the same time, right? Like you have to be, most sports are fairly physically active. A lot of the ones that I like anyways, it's just enjoyable to, play. The biggest part I think for me is just how much, and this is what I was going to touch on, but I love how sports brings people together too. It's one of, if not the greatest way that countries, come together as a unity. You touched on the Olympics. Well, what brings more people together as an entire nation than to put your country's colors on your back and do sports or some form of sport? Because outside of sports, where else do people put on they're Canadian or American or whatever. Where else do you, you know, represent your country that way? Probably only the army. Maybe if you wanted to go to the army, I guess you don't really put on your country's colors, but I guess that you represent your country. But outside of the army, like, there's nothing else where you literally put on the colors of your country and go compete against other countries. And it brings an entire nation together, because obviously the entire country of Canada is going to cheer for Canada when you're watching the Olympics. And not that everybody really watches the Olympics, but I just love how sports unites people to, you know, be rooting for one common cause. And not that you're really rooting for maybe the other countries to lose as much as you want your country to win. But, you know, in general, like, you can go back through history, or even like, man, a few years ago with the Toronto Raptors winning the championship in Canada, like, that was probably one of the most massive Canadian movements in sports history. The way that brought the country together, you know, I'll never forget when Canada won gold in the Olympics in hockey in, I believe they were playing in Sochi at the time. And I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce that right, but I waited. The game was at like 4 o'clock in the morning or something crazy like that. And the Canadian Brew House, which is a pub in Canada, I mean, obviously that might've been obvious by Canadian Brew House, but I'll never forget going there, waiting in the lineup at 2 o'clock in the morning, getting in at 3 o'clock in the morning, them making breakfast and serving coffee to people for the first couple hours, and then eventually bringing out mimosas and stuff like that. But to be like, for everybody to like be at a place at 3 o'clock in the morning, like, what else would you ever be doing that for if it wasn't for something that your country was doing, which was just so happened to be a sport? So without rambling on too much more, I would say for me, number one is the unity. It brings, you know, the fact that it brings people together, probably more than almost anything else on the planet, in my opinion. Number two would be just the competitive aspect, you know, how hard you have to work to, you know, skill wise, or you have to put in the effort to be good at any sport. I don't care what sport it is, even the weird ones you named off. It takes a level of, focus and skill and you wanting to be better than, the next person. Like, competition challenges you to be better than the next person. And it's not that it's a negative to the other individual, but, you know, it's, you want to be better. You want to prove something, you know, and things like that. And then I think third, what I would also say from a unity standpoint of bringing people together, especially in team sports, is the camaraderie and the brotherhood and the friendships and everything that a team creates. When you're part of a team sport, and individual people that are part of individual sports still have some sort of team behind them, whether it's their coaches or their, you know, their training partners and things like that. Even in MMA and stuff like that, we see, oh, it's, you know, Conor McGregor fighting this guy. But if you look behind the scenes, he's got his coaches and his trainers and his sparring partners. And there's a lot of people that are still coming together for that individual to stand in that ring by himself. So even the individual sports have a lot of people behind it. So it's just that having that camaraderie and, you know, those people that are there for you, you know, when you're part of a team or part of an organization or anything that where you're really trying to become better or whatever, just the brotherhood and everything that it, just to have people that, some of the greatest things that have ever happened in people's lives from, you know, coming from a shitty background, let's say, being raised in a crappy family and stuff like that. You look at some of the people that have came from real shitty lives. It was, you know, competition and sports and being part of what they called their family that really changed their lives, whether it was football or boxing or MMA or soccer or whatever. They got to be a part of something where people were supporting them and bringing them together and stuff like that. So, I rambled on enough here. So I guess maybe you have a lot of the same answers, but I'll throw the same question your way. What is it about sports that has always been something that you really love about it or that draws you into it?
Well, you had a great reply in response to that question. And yeah, mine, you're right. I do share a lot of the same. It's hard to deviate and add into that. But mine are a couple parts as much as yours is really the process in its entirety. right? From learning, like, what is the sport? Why do you like it? You know, how do you actually play it? What are the strategies within that? Do you know anyone that is of equal or better than you? Just the whole process in terms of, you know, the preparation, the mentality, the, you know, what gear do you need to just absolutely everything? Do you have to travel, right? Like soccer, growing up playing soccer most of my life until I didn't anymore. There's no team available or place to progress. It was the travel, right? It was get your shoes, get your uniform, get practice. Like, let's go. This is your team. This is your colors. And I love that. I loved every moment of it, no matter how good or great or maybe bad you are or who you're playing with. And the pursuit of getting better was a big thing for me. Like, I didn't just play to play. Like, yeah, my coach has always reminded me of, you know, hey, and last but not least, you guys go out and have fun, right? If you're not having fun, I mean, you're kind of in there for the wrong reasons, like many things.
Yeah.
Like work and all that. But anyways, starting a business, whatever. But yeah, it was the pursuit of greatness, the pursuit of getting better. Like, and I can see it, right? It's kind of like going to the gym. You keep working on your physique. It's, you know, if you didn't see no improvement, what are you doing, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it was always that. And probably the last thing why I love it so much is, for an example, it's like if I'm playing basketball, which for those of you that know me or will get to know me through this podcast, is the basketball is my number one, the NBA, all that good stuff, is when I'm on the basketball court, for an example, or if I'm just playing a sport in general, I'm not thinking about anything else. You know, no shots at anything or anyone, but I'm not thinking about my family. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about, you know, anything that maybe hurt me that week.
He's not thinking about Steve.
I'm not thinking about Steve. You know, I'm not thinking about the podcast. No.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not thinking about any problem. I'm not thinking about making money, not having enough money, got to make more money. There's no life problem. I'm literally just laser focused on that competition itself. So yeah. And a lot, like what you said, culture is huge. That brotherhood, or even, you know, if you've got females on your team, whatever the mix or the dynamic of the team or the sport is. You know, the sister of the brotherhood. Yeah, it's huge. And just being on a team, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Right? When you have that shared goal, that shared philosophy.
Ooh, that's a good point. I didn't touch on that.
Strong leader, right? Like, think about some of the best coaches ever. Like, imagine just being part of that, witnessing that type of greatness and having those mental shifts and that proximity to all those people that are just as good, if not better than you. And yeah, I mean, I love it. I love it all.
Yeah.
I miss it, actually. Yeah. I miss being on a team.
Well, you know, that's
consistently.
That kind of leads into the question I was going to ask you before you asked me this question was, I was going to ask you what your favorite sport is and why. So you touched on it being basketball. So I guess I would rephrase it this way, is what is it specifically about basketball that you have liked so much, enjoyed so much, and, or, you know, what in general just made basketball your number one?
It's always a great question. There's never a direct answer to it. Cause like I said, I started playing basketball or started playing soccer first, right? Since I was 6 years old. And then obviously I found basketball, you know, really as something I loved and liked a lot or whatever, grew into, you know, grade six, grade seven, somewhere around there. So obviously I was playing soccer for many years before. So it is interesting. I think just the overall feeling that gets me, it's obviously something I've developed a good skill and talent for. So I am good at it. That's where a lot of the fun and the competitiveness comes from, and the challenge and winning and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, man, that's a great question. I think just the overall feeling, like that feeling of just playing. It's a good number of people, you know, wearing that jersey. I mean, most sports, you got to wear a jersey, obviously, but wearing that jersey, you know, the feeling of just that ball leaving your hand.
Yeah.
You know, it's going in.
Yeah.
Right? Like in golf, you know, when you have a good shot, just before you hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Football, you know, you got a good throw and it's going in that receiver's hand. It's just that nothing beats it. And when the net makes that swoosh sound, oh man, almost, you know, just thinking about it now, I want to go play basketball or hockey. That wrist shot, that slap shot, you just almost know it's going in. Or that pass. Yeah, that assist. I don't know. It's just that feeling. You can't really describe it. It's in that moment. And it's something that you can control. I have the ball in my hand. Sure, I can get better as a player without having the ball in my hand. But I can always get better. And, you know, that control. You have that control of the ball. you kind of, you know, it's not about all eyes on you, but just you can really hone your craft.
Yeah.
And control the game, right? You got that puck in hockey. Well, that's the focus. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants that puck. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to it. But yeah, I just love the game. I love sports in general. But yeah, basketball, I just love it.
Well, I can see the smile it brings on your face just by saying the word basketball. It's like looks like you're talking about your firstborn child when you say the word.
That's right. I like that. Yeah. Hopefully I'll look at the newborn child the same. But yeah, we've played a couple pickup games before against
people. Yeah, except you kicked my ass all the time.
Well, we're on the same team, but if we're talking 21 or
you
know, some other silly game. But
yeah, I mean, I like basketball too.
You grew up playing it.
Hockey's my number one favorite sport. I mean, I never played competitive hockey like I played competitive basketball and soccer. We both share that background. And, you know, I think the one thing I like about the sports in general, the two that we like and a lot of the other ones as well, is like we talked about the team aspect. But when you also look at, you know, hockey or basketball, soccer, a lot of different sports that are out there, there's that individual one-on-one component of the game inside the game. That's what I've always liked about the two, right? Because like you got your whole team on the court with you, but you're one-on-one with a guy at the, you know, at the free throw line, and you dribble, you make a wicked play, and you know, you break his ankles, and it's like, oh, you know, that was an individual thing inside the team game. You know, and hockey's the same way. You know, you're playing on a team. Yeah, you need to pass to your team. You need to get passes from your team. You need your team to play good defense. You need your team, all the aspects of your team. But there's those moments inside the sport itself where you have those individual moments where you're like, you have that moment to, you know, be not, I don't like to phrase it this way, but you have that moment one-on-one with somebody to like be better than them. You know, so there's like, it's like the game inside the game.
Okay.
That's what I like about it too, right? Like there's, you do have individual sport in a sense inside that team aspect. So I've always really enjoyed that about, you know, basketball, soccer, hockey, you know, being the main three, football, you know, if we want to add in football is huge. You know, yeah, you got a quarterback. Yeah, you got this guy, but like, you know, really it sometimes breaks down to those one-on-one matchups. Like in football, you're covering the receiver as the corner, whatever. And, you know, your job is to make sure he doesn't get the ball. So like, or you got to tackle the guy and you're the guy that like either gets an interception or you're the guy that tackled the dude or whatever. Like a lot of times it breaks down to those individual moments as well. So that's something that's kind of drawn me to the sports that we like is that there is a team aspect, but there's also that individual component that's still, you know,
individualism. Yeah, you're right. And everyone's kind of got their own role.
Yeah.
Oh, let's just say there's, you know, a sport that has captain, which is, you know, pretty dominant. Like, let's just say hockey, which it is. Mm-hmm. You got that C on your chest. Well, you know what the heck that stands for.
Mm-hmm.
It's captain. So, okay, this person's the captain, you know, not so much it's, you know, structured as in who's next, but, you know, okay, well, what's this role player?
Exactly.
Right? Like, are you the Dennis Rodman? Are you kind of one?
Yeah, you the rebound guy?
In defense, but stir things up?
Yeah.
Right? Like, in hockey, you know better than me, but there's those guys that, yeah, they're good. They got to the league for a reason. They're still skillful and talented, but, like, they're on the team because they're the dog. They go out and fight. They go up and stir some crap up.
Or they're just the best defender.
Right.
They don't put a lot of points on the board, but it's like, you know, you go out and shut down that guy. You don't get any credit for... You know, for all these points that the superstar dude put up on the board, let's say, no matter what sport it is, but it's like you were the guy that made sure the other team didn't score. You know, it's like those hidden results. And I mean,
the hustle plays. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Touching on the sport aspect, like you touched the role play. I love that point because, you know, sports are great. I mean, you'd agree, being somebody that follows sports, that what does truly make a team is, for lack of better words, everybody on that team knows their role. You can't win a championship in any sport if people on the team don't know their role on that team, right? Like maybe your job is to get the puck to the superstar guy. Maybe because in any sport, there's the guy that's got to get the puck or the ball or stop the guy from scoring, but it can't be the one guy that puts the points on the board that's doing all that stuff.
So well, like, what happens when he's injured or she's injured,
exactly
right? So there's that.
Yeah. So like everybody needs to know their role on the court, on the field, on the ice, whatever sport it really is, the you know, like everybody knows their position, where they need to be, you know, how to be the best member of that team. You know, what do you need to do every game that makes you a valuable asset to this environment and this team? And sometimes maybe even you're just the locker room guy. Like you hear about it a lot where, you know, you think that, you know, it's like, who the hell is this guy?
But he's been on the team for several years.
Because he's the most positive frigging guy in the room. He jacks everybody up. He's there. He's supportive. He's the guy that the voice of reason, the guy that shifts the team's mindset. You know, it's like you hear about it all the time. And I'll just let you go where you're going there.
Two quick examples of that come to my mind right away is I know a little bit about hockey, but not as much as you, but Ryan Smith. They brought back Ryan Smith on the Oilers, right? A little bit. That would probably be the reason why. Mm-hmm. He's older. He's a vet mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, Oilers are the Oilers throughout the last 10 years, unfortunately.
They brought him back in the day. Yeah.
A lot of skill. But isn't he back on the team now?
No, Ryan Smith's retired a long time ago.
Well, who do they bring back recently? Because the Oilers are so young and still are. I thought they brought someone back.
I don't follow the Oilers enough.
More of a, yeah, I know.
I don't follow the Oilers enough. Anyways, a Red Wings fan, everybody.
A better example is Udonis Haslam. Most people don't know that name. Udonis Haslam on the Miami Heat. He was with Dwayne Wade.
I know Haslam. I heard that name. Yeah,
but he's on there. He doesn't play. He's a little bit older. He's in his later 30s. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't play. He hasn't played a game in many years or several years. But he's that locker room guy.
Yeah.
He's basically like the player's coach.
Yeah.
And they love it. He gets praise all the time. It's mindset. You can see him and hear him in huddle sometimes, but he's just that vet on the team, especially for the young guys.
Yeah.
That'll kind of put them in their place and just make sure they're on track and things are aligned and the culture is tight and all that. So yeah, it's kind of what's your role, and that's cool.
You know, when you brought up Edmonton, actually, regardless of a player, what actually made me think about this role in a sense is Joey Moss passed away. For anybody from Edmonton and Alberta, he was a special needs kid that Wayne Gretzky basically got him a job with the Oilers in like the 80s. And he recently passed away, and I was watching this little doc on Sportsnet with Wayne talking and stuff. And Wayne made a comment that Joey probably won more championships for Edmonton than, you know, the players actually did, because Joey Moss was just like the most positive person ever. And, you know, they'd have a bad game or they'd lose or anything like that. Joey Moss was always that guy in their locker room, you know, with his big smile and his big heart, always saying, "We'll get him on the next one, guys." You know, he always brought up the energy, could make everybody smile when they were a little pissed off or feeling down about the game that they had or whatever. And was just always that guy and always that voice in the locker room. And, you know, just loud and proud, singing the anthem before every game, you know, fist bumping everybody, high-fiving, hugs, you know, just that guy that just always brought that. They said that, you know, for their cup runs in the 80s, Gretzky talks about how Joey Moss was actually one of the most valuable assets to all those cup runs. Never played a game of hockey, but was just that locker room presence.
That's awesome.
You know, when you touched on Emmett, I was pretty sad. I'm not even an Oilers fan, but it was sad because I've known about Joey Moss forever, and he's been with the Oilers forever, and they've kept him in that organization forever. And it was just, yeah, I mean, you never know what, you know, and sometimes you never know if it's the trainer on the team, or sometimes it's the coach, sometimes it's the assistant coach, sometimes it's the stick boy. Like, you just never know behind the scenes sometimes just how important somebody is as well. And again, you find your role within the team. Everybody sees the guys on the ice, but you could be the guy in basketball that is bringing the drinks to the fellas, bringing all the towels to the fellas, you know, washing the uniforms, you know, the bus driver for the team. You never know what your role is or how you can really contribute to the overall team. And that's when we talked about sports and unity, like when you really encompass the entire team and the entire organization, there's so much more behind the scenes and people that are a part of that organization than the, you know, the 20 people that are on the ice, or the, you know, the 20 people that are constantly on the basketball court and things like that. So, you know, there's just so much to sports that we don't know from everything that makes it all happen. The ownership, the management, the players on the ice, the, you know, all the people behind the scenes,
commentators.
The commentators, you know, just the radio stations, just everybody, all the fans, you know, you can't really have, you need fans, right? So it just creates a massive community of people that are all, you know, cheering and, you know, maybe also being sad at times, then, you know, more than you'd want to be, especially we were talking about the Oilers. I mean, their fans have been sad for a long time.
But you're not crying oil.
No.
Crying them waterworks. Yeah. And you made many good points there. And I love that. It's very powerful. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's a big moment in, sport history, we can call it, but even hockey history, because it's so specific to hockey, that story of him and what was his name again?
Joey Moss.
Don't forget.
Yeah, might have to edit out that Ryan Smith part, though.
You might have to. I swear I heard that like on Sports.
Ryan Smith is probably retired in like.
And I should know that.
I bet you, I don't even know what year he retired.
I thought they.
I want to say it was probably like 2010.
Anyways, players. The point is, players have been brought back in certain sports. Or on certain sports teams for that reason, to be the locker room guy, to be the, you know, that leader, that vet, that mindset, all that stuff, to kind of get some of these young guys that come in hot and heavy and a little cocky, or, you know, values and vision and all that for themselves. It's not aligned. But what I wanted to say when you were explaining and sharing that story of Joe Moss there, Joey Moss
is, he's a beauty.
He brought up a lot of what this podcast is all about, which is two big words, is value and impact, right? He obviously had a lot of value, and people, he was valuable, right? You don't want to boot a fellow away like that, for certain reasons, but away from, you know, a team or teams or the league. But he obviously had a huge impact, like his reach. It wasn't just a team. It was felt around the whole, you know, league.
Oh, the community, the whole Edmonton city embraced him as somebody that was a part of that team. You know, you see him on, you'd see him belting that anthem on TV, or if you're at the actual arena and stuff like that, you know, that's where you'd always see him just singing that Canadian anthem loud and proud. And, you know, it was just an inspiration for the community. So. It's just sad he passed away, but
it is sad.
You know, he had a really good life, and it was all thanks to Mr. Gretzky.
That's awesome. What a man. What a game.
Yeah.
And what I love also is there's so many sports out there, obviously, that I just learned a couple today, even, and so did you and people listening, like competitive worm charming. Like what?
Oh my goodness.
I don't just want to shake my head, but hey, it seems like a more of a family oriented type of sport, but now I'm laughing about cheese rolling. Oh man.
I think everybody plays some form of sport, right? So
yeah. And even if it's not called a sport, you think it's a sport, and that's something that you can go and get a W at, you can go win. Great. If that fills your cup, fills your heart, fills your, you know, your mindset or whatever, and gets you going through the day, then go for it. And yeah, I'm always interested with people that don't have a sport. Not that it's a bad thing. I always encourage people to have some sort of sport. And it's harder to find when you go through life and you're older, because it's like, oh, I'm just going to pick up some sport. But, you know, even like, I don't know, it's more of a hobby, I guess. Like, just pick up. This is completely different. I don't know where my mind was going with this. But, like, pick up, like, a guitar or some music instrument. Like, if that's your sport.
Yeah.
Right, it could be. It's totally a different category. But, you know, yeah, maybe it is beer pong.
Beer pong. Right?
Maybe it is.
Beer pong. There's probably a championship for beer pong. I bet you there is.
Yeah. Why not?
Who knows?
Right? Ping pong even, I guess, if we were to roll it back a little bit, more appropriate. But yeah, I always encourage people, and there's nothing wrong with not having a sport, but I just know the value and all the good stuff that comes, that we've explained, that comes from a sport. That's why a lot of people have it and would agree. But yeah, if you don't have a sport, that's fine.
Well, I guess, so I wrote down a couple sports sayings or things that people say about sports that, you know, I wanted to chat about just to.
What do they say? Talk to them.
Well, the first thing that, you know, I wanted to chat about and just, you know, some perspective on from our angle and things like that is there's individuals, and I've heard this many a times in my life, that I don't like sports. And that's something that's always been, you know, a little bit surprising that somebody could just say that, because, and again, I think it's because it's just so generalized. Like, what do you, it's almost like, to me, it's, what do you mean you don't like sports. You know, what is it about sports that a person wouldn't like? You know, with everything that we just talked about, it's kind of almost a shocking statement to me. And it's not, has nothing to do with the fact that, like, you could say, I don't like hockey, and that wouldn't be, you know, as surprising to me. I'd be like, oh, okay, you don't like hockey. All right. It's still kind of weird as a Canadian to me that you'd say that you don't like it, but that's just my opinion. But in general, you're like, I don't like sports. What do you mean? What don't you like about it? Like, you don't like, is it the competition? Is it, and then a lot of times, and here's the thing that, you know, where it sometimes gravitates. And maybe this is kind of a point of discussion a little bit here as well, is that people will be like, oh, well, they're overpaid. They make too much money. It's almost like there's a negative aspect to how much money a sports person makes. And then that's why it's like, I've kind of had the correlation. I don't know if you've ever had this correlation before from other people where it's like, I don't like sports. And then it seems to be associated with the fact that people in sports get paid so much money.
I don't think I ran into that. I can kind of get that. The money is a byproduct of the sport,
mm-hmm.
right? It's we're talking about the sport itself, right? I think that's kind of a weird, I don't know what the right term would be. I'll just use that for lack of better terms, whatever. It's kind of a weird excuse to not like sports, but like, teach their own, right? I mean, you do you, but yeah, I mean, money, I mean... Think about the Gretzky era, even if we're talking about sports and hockey, just to, you know, familiarize real quick, is they weren't making the kind of money they are now, right? So the sport gets bigger. Sport mm-hmm. has different revenue streams. It gets bigger. So they're allowed to pay, right? Like, there's a reason why NFL and NBA players get paid higher than, you know, the other, yeah. I guess baseball too. It seems like hockey out of the core four, like, is on the lower end.
Yeah, even
for whatever reason. But it's so dominant around the world and such a big sport, especially in North America.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that. So I mean, soccer players are paid on average more than hockey players too. So hockey's definitely probably out of the,
and soccer's a big
core sports, and hockey would be the lowest.
Soccer's the biggest reach-wise, global-wise. I believe it is soccer. I've looked it up a few times too, but soccer is the biggest sport, I believe.
I believe you are correct that soccer's played in more countries than any other sport. Or I guess in other countries they call it football. Us in North America don't, because of the hand-throwing game of football. But,
that's right. Don't want to get too confused here.
Well, I mean, then when it comes to what athletes get paid, people, I think, don't realize how much an athlete's actually a product of the business, right? Like, you're a product. The only way that sports make money or sports companies make money is because they're marketing the product. And what's the product? Not only is it the game, but it's the individuals. When you go watch basketball games, sure, you're watching your team, but what is it you're watching in that team? You know, like, you talked about the hockey era. Weren't most people going to watch Wayne Gretzky, or were they going to watch the Oilers? Well, it's kind of a combination of both, but without Wayne Gretzky, would they have as many people in the stands? Would they have, how many Wayne Gretzky jerseys were being sold in the 1980s, right? So, and you know, you, for the most part, when people buy a jersey, if you just put no name on the back of the jersey, how many blank jerseys are being bought versus the jerseys that have a name on the back, right? You don't go buy a plain Pittsburgh Penguins jersey. If I'm, you know, because obviously I think about Crosby and Ovechkin and stuff in hockey. So you're buying Crosby's jersey. You're buying Ovechkin's jersey. In basketball, you're buying LeBron's jersey. You're buying Kobe's jersey. All that Ming stuff.
Because of China and that reach.
So much. Yeah. I mean, they get paid so much money because they are actually a product of the game. And that's why they can be traded like a product. They're marketed and sold like a product. They are individuals, but they certainly are. They're, you know, when you really boil it down to a business aspect, that's the product that the companies are selling.
Yeah. And it does suck talking about it, but it is brought up in the mindset of it, in the awareness and the acknowledgement of it is, yeah, sports are a business, obviously. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, sport isn't just a sport or a game. It is a business. And it does suck to look at the players as like the product.
Yeah.
But
it does,
you know, not that you want to say that, but that kind of is
definitely the reality.
It's the reality. Yeah. It's definitely a fact. And, you know, that's why you hear them say, well, it's just business, right? the business of this game is, you know, you got certain products that perform better. You got certain products, you know, such as the players that don't perform as well, as well. And you, you know, the longevity of their career, and they get traded a lot, and you know, it, there's a lot, of variables, but yeah, that's an interesting take on that too.
Well, you're each team has a budget for salary, just like every other business does, right? Every business that is a legitimate business has payroll. But most businesses don't make the kind of revenue that sports companies do, right? So when you look at, oh, this guy's getting paid $10 million, it's like, yeah, but the owners made $1 billion, possibly, right? Like, we don't know the actual numbers, but you know, they, if payroll 70, so pay salary cap in the NHL is say like $80 million, right? But they're that overall team, once you cover all expenses and things like that, they're making way more than that. And if they're not, there's actually compensation throughout. The teams that are doing really well actually have to pay to the, you know, basically money to the teams that aren't doing well. The NHL's kind of created that type of environment. So it's an overall business because all the teams are part of the same company, which is the NHL.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was something.
I wonder if major sports run too.
Because when you go to the Florida Panthers games, when there's fans allowed in the stands, you know, when an arena can fit 20,000 people, they might have 7,000 people in the arena. So, if you, you know, obviously Florida doesn't have the kind of revenue that a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs or New York Rangers or Montreal Canadiens or, you know, some of your big, big teams do. So, you know, part of that is that part of those big teams have to give a portion of their revenue to help keep some of those teams around and in the league and, you know, the owners happy and, you know.
What goes around comes around, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome. What would you say to somebody who says winning isn't everything when it comes to sports, you know, and yeah, that's it. I don't know. That's always something that's kind of, when somebody says that, I'm trying to figure out where that would come from. And it's not anything personal, but I'm like, if winning isn't everything, what does a person mean by that? Because, you know, winning to a degree is everything. So I guess I look at it this way.
Maybe it's the ultimate goal.
If winning isn't everything, then losing's okay. Like, and I don't mean like, and it has nothing to do with having a piss poor attitude if you don't win or you don't, but if you're, it's like you're okay with losing then. And if you're okay with losing, then you're just okay with not becoming better as an individual. And it's not even just from sports in general, but we touched on life in general is competitive. You know, if you want that promotion or you want that job or you want that bigger income and so on and so forth, you know, you go to school to be a doctor. Well, you need X amount of grades and you know, there's only so many jobs available in these markets and different things like that. But wouldn't it be fair? The most successful people that are functioning in life have just been people that win more. So when somebody, and there might be a lot of people that disagree with this train of thought and that's fine. But, you know, to me, if it's like, if you don't want to win, then you're just okay to lose or, you know, I don't know, what's your take on that? Winning isn't everything. Isn't it though? Like why the hell are you trying to be better every day then? Like, what are you going for? What do you wake up for every day? Aren't you trying to win at something?
Yeah, those are all great questions, and we should ask those questions to ourselves personally when we, you know, in the sport realm. However, I would say, you know, winning, yeah, sure, winning is everything, but at the same time, if you're always winning, you're not always learning something. Like, yeah, you stay on top, but you don't always win. You don't always learn through winning, right? You don't, you know, you learn a lot more through failure, and that's just common and a kind of a universal thing around the world in many different things and different aspects of life. Sports, obviously, life in general, business, which is huge and all around us, obviously. But if you're always winning, I just don't think, like, yeah, it means you're kind of, you know, you're staying on top. You obviously have a hell of a team and a squad behind you and with you. But if you're, you know, there's almost more power in failing because you can just learn more and you can kind of get better when you fail because you know what you failed at. So there's different avenues on it. But I think, yeah, winning is everything, but it's to a degree, it's not everything. Because if you're constantly winning, you're not learning, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You have to lose sometimes to learn how to win.
Right? Like, there's some business mentors that I follow that they, you know, it's hard to not agree with them, but to, I guess, accept it that that's how they really feel. But if you say it, I guess you must mean it. Is I love when I lose. Right? Like, there's a certain one, like Gary V. Shout out to Gary V.
Yeah, you love your Gary V.
He loves when he loses because he can course correct and change and get better and learn and do this. And, you know, he loves going through the trenches, as he says. And now we're deviating a little bit, you know, past sports, but you can use that concept and that philosophy in sports, I believe, too. Like, sure, nobody loves losing. It sucks. But, like, this is why you lost. Not so much, the team's better. That's why, you know, the team's just better, whatever. Even though you lost by like 1 or 2 points. Like, you know, this is why you lost, right? You could have capitalized here. Could have done this. This is where you failed on this play. You know, the coach made a mistake here. Like, all this stuff. There's so many variables once again in that. But yeah, no, winning is everything. But
I think
also if that fun component. Sorry, you got to have that fun component.
You do.
Right? But
the reason why I guess I brought that up is not something that the statement doesn't necessarily bother me, but it does make me scratch my head, is because I just associate the word winning with success and the word losing with failure. And yes, you need more failures to learn how to succeed, but ultimately success is your ultimate goal at whatever you're doing, whatever, you know, and that's why, you know, a lot of people relate winning isn't everything to sport, but if you think that in sport, what else are you thinking that in? Right? Like, it's like money isn't everything. Well, again, the more successful you are in life, the more money you're going to get. So when you even say money isn't everything, well, isn't it though? Like, to a degree.
What if someone said family wasn't everything?
Yeah. Like, obviously.
I'm not going down that road.
Yeah. That's, I mean, ridiculous, because, well, I know, but if, you know, it's like nobody likes to be called a loser. So then isn't winning pretty important to you then? Maybe that's a whole different conversation. We don't need to get into all that stuff.
Everybody loves winning. I mean, there's people that don't, you know, even board games. You know, you have sore losers all the time, or that one person that's just super competitive, has to win, hates losing. Well, yeah, that's where the winning is everything to them.
Well, and you don't want to be a poor loser.
No, you don't. You know, you don't want to. Nobody likes a poor loser. Oh, my God. But yeah, I guess it's just a mindset thing, and you know, if you want to take it the way you want to take it, great. But you know, there's greatness out there in sports for a reason. It's because they took success and winning and getting better and the pursuit of it all and the preparation of their game, getting better individually, mentally, physically, you know, to a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and it's a form of entertainment. You know, you can kind of almost picture yourself like, man, imagine being Gretzky, or imagine being Crosby or Ovechkin in hockey, or, you know, Ronaldo in soccer, or this person in MMA, or whatever sport you like and love. You know, you can kind of put yourself in there sometimes, and it's fulfilling and people love it.
Right? Yeah.
So anyways, that's kind of my take on it.
No, I like it. I like it. And this kind of sums up the next thing that, you know, I wrote down as something that I hear a lot when it comes to, you know, sports and stuff, or when it comes to you losing and things like that. But they'll say, it's just a game, you know, it's just a game. And I've always wondered what that really means when somebody says that too. It's like you lose a game or you lose at something and they're like, oh, it's just a game. Like as if your reaction to losing is ridiculous or something. And yeah, I mean, there is poor losers and you don't want to be a poor loser, but there should be some sort of element of losing a game or losing at something where you're just like, it should bug you a little bit, but bug you not where you're being a jerk to people and stuff like that around you. But it's like, I've never really heard, maybe I just don't know a ton of people, but I just, you know, it's to me again, it's like, if it's just a game, what does that really mean? Like, what's the meaning behind that? Because I never looked at anything. Oh, it's just a game. So I'm just going to lose. Cause I, you know, it's like almost like you don't care or something. Like, I don't know. That's kind of tied into winning isn't everything and stuff. So we don't really need to talk about that, but it's just that's another saying or phrase that you hear sometimes is It's like you lose a big game. It's like, oh, Taylor, winning isn't everything, man. It's all good. Like winning isn't everything. Like, oh, okay.
I think those phrases will piss off a winner type mindset though. Right? Like someone that's just so obsessed with the game, that's going to make them upset. And that's fine. That's not the goal, to make someone upset and go around telling people that. That's not the point.
Right.
But yeah, life's just a game.
Life is a game.
It's just a game.
Life is a game. Yeah, it really is.
It is just a game. Yeah. How are you playing it? Right. But
yeah,
it's a form of chess apparently. But yeah, it's just a game. I remember kind of small moments like that. Not that I clinged on to them or, have attached to them, these memories. But I remember one or two, instances growing up where, it's just a game. Yeah, it never made me feel better. But, you do have to kind of detach yourself. And you know what? Yeah, it is a game. But what? It is my game. This is my game. I didn't put blood, sweat, and maybe some tears into this game just to lose.
Yeah.
And to keep losing. Right? I want to win, damn it.
Yeah.
I want some good people on my team. I want a decent coach. I want, this or that. So, yeah, man. I don't know.
I think my last thing to talk about is what do you think about how the world is converting to the participation ribbon world where we live now where, it's first, second, or third, let's say.
Right.
But now, no, everybody, you didn't get a ribbon for fourth place when I was a kid. You were either first, second, or third. If you're talking about track and field or, I'd be like, could you imagine in the Olympics giving a participation medal to all the countries that weren't on the podium? Like all that
showing up,
for
being there.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, this is a little touching. We don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but that scares me. Like it really does scare me that we're getting into this. And a lot of people would agree that if you live an entire lifetime till you're an adult where you were never told that you lost, you're never allowed to use the word, you lost, or, you don't call somebody a loser, but it's like you didn't win. You lost, or, you failed. You can't even give a kid an F anymore nowadays. And then they get to be 18 years old, get into the real world. And it's like, oh, so I'm not, supervisor at this job. I thought, don't I just get that? Isn't that, don't know? Oh, yeah, oh,
don't so I show up for you?
Don't I just I just walk in for that job? Like, isn't that just mine? I guess, and it kind of gets into that entitled world that we're starting to live in. But, what's your thoughts on the participation ribbons and the element of how that world or the world is kind of, almost having a negative view when it comes to the whole losing and failure and how it should actually be? To me, failure isn't a negative thing. It's a positive thing. It's your ability to learn. So if people aren't allowed to fail, then how the hell are they ever going to learn? If people aren't allowed to lose, then how are they ever going to learn? That's my thought process when it comes to that.
And that's a great take on it.
How do you spend 18 years before you get into the real world and you never lost or failed at anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, when I've gotten participation awards before, like in the whole school process and, events and this and that. And it's fun and funny. You're a kid, you don't know any better, but yeah, I don't like it. I think it does make, the whole organization of it and the dynamic of it, if you will, like it makes people soft.
Yeah.
Like, where's my award? Mm-hmm. Where's my, you didn't earn it though. Like you're 62nd out of 100 people. Why do you need what do you mean? Like you lost and you lost big time. And yeah, top three, the podium thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no fourth, fifth, sixth, top 10. You lost. What does Ricky Bobby say?
You ain't first, you last.
So
he also says, if I know, I won't get into
all those quotes.
No, there's some couple things from that movie that just make me laugh
it's
so
funny,
much.
Yeah, it's funny movie.
If you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you.
he's such a silly son of a bee. But yeah, no, I don't like it. I don't really agree with it. You don't just get something for showing up. You got to perform, you got to play, you got to win. And if you lose, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next weekend. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you next year. Whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's kind of just created a little bit of softness within people without getting too into it and too detailed. But
yeah,
and to expect it, though, is another thing. That's, I guess, where I'm going with it. Like to expect that you just.
Yeah.
Like here's my ribbon. Like, I don't know. It's just, you run a marathon. No, yeah. There's 100 people, there's 50, there's 20. No, like you got to come in first.
Yeah, you got to at least place in the top. Yeah.
And if not, we're just all running for nothing.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, yeah. But that, and I, well, I believe that that's where the world's kind of going a little bit, is that everybody's just running for nothing. Like you're not allowed to say all these different things and, you know, you can't do this and, you know, everybody, yeah, it's just, the world's a bunch of pussies right now. If I can sum it up in, you know, the most direct way, it's just, you know, and then it's even more on your job as a parent, you know, and when you have kids one day, Taylor, you know, you'll, maybe it'll even be, the world will be even softer, but, you know, it's your job as a parent now to be like, no, son, like you need to do better. Like you didn't, or daughter or whatever, like, no, you need to get better. You know, you'll get better. We got to practice. You know, you want to get first. It's like, well, my teacher said, it's no big deal. It's like, well, no, it is kind of a big deal to dad. You know,
it's like, just a game.
It's just a game. It's like, yeah, it is just a game, but like, we're going around in life to just be okay with losing all the time and being lackadaisic about it. Like you want to compete at some point in your life at something that you're doing. Everybody needs to compete at something. If you never compete at anything in your life or take competition in something serious, then how the hell are you ever going to get to the top of a company or, you know, get a really good job or do really good in school? Like, you know, like it's not easy to get really good grades, and it's not easy to make sports teams and stuff like that and be cut from teams. Yeah, it sucks. All that stuff sucks. It sucks to be cut from teams, but it sucks to not, you know, get the promotion at work or whatever, but you need to freaking work for it. And, you know, if we teach people that you don't need to work for things, it's just going to be a scary world if it keeps going that way 10, 15, 20, 30 more years. You know, where the hell are the... There's no handouts. Like, it's like we're starting to live in a world of handouts. So that just scares the shit out of me. But I don't know what more to say at this point. I think we've kind of concluded the end of this episode. What do you think?
Yes, I do think we concluded this episode. And we want to thank you all listeners once again for listening to us on episode 9 about sports. And I hope while we were talking and discussing a bunch of stuff and a little bit of mindset and value and impact here and there that you... We're thinking about your answers to the questions that we gave each other, what you think of, what you believe, mm-hmm. you know, putting yourself in those certain positions and state of minds, and maybe even envisioning yourself on the stadium or in the stadium, sorry, and in those arenas, you know, what that feels like if you are a big sports person. So once again, we appreciate all of you listening. This was a fun episode. I can talk about sports for a long time.
Me too.
But we encourage you and would love to see more followers, more listeners, obviously.
Of course.
So at the bottom of our descriptions in each platform, you will see our Instagram handles and the one for this podcast. So I encourage you to please follow us. We're always open for more listeners, more people, more feedback, more love. So.
Yeah, and I mean, we'd love to hear some reviews. Go to iTunes and leave some reviews, and you know, we'll start looking at that. If we can improve anywhere, bring more value anywhere, positive, negative comments, whatever, we want to see it. We want to see it all. We want to feel it all. You know, we want to get as much value out of this podcast for ourselves as much as bring more and more value to everybody. And we promise once COVID is over. That we'll get some more, make some more rounds and get some more guests on. You know, we haven't had any guests on yet and COVID's kind of restricted that. You know, they should be lifting things a little bit more here in Alberta for us to, you know, get in front of some of the people that we've wanted to have on our show and get some guests in our, you know, what we're going to call our second season of our podcast. And we hope that, you know, we can bring some more value that way. We got some really good, you know, talented local people that we have in our lives, friends, family, and some business owners and different struggles that they've gone through. And they want to jump on our podcast and share with you guys. So, you know, we really value everybody that's been on. And, you know, we want to bring more value and hear from more people. And you know, we look forward to everybody, you know, giving us some reviews and following us a little bit more. And seeing who out there is paying attention. So with that being said, this concludes the episode to another podcast on Wiredly Inspired. And, you know, this will be episode 9. You know, we're trucking along here and, you know, it's been awesome. So I'll say bye for now. And
until next time, we'll see you on episode 10.